Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Ball, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And as always, in a few minutes, we're joined by our guest every Wednesday, when she can be here with us, which is about every Wednesday, Wendy Wilson, the Apothecary Herbs. And she got a great topic you were going to hear today. Before we go there, as always, welcome to the program today. We're going to do the metals and the markets. And I hope you will keep in mind that Melody's still around. She's still trying to help you folks plan your futures. And I wish you'd give her a call and talk to her about it. I really do. It could save you a lot of heartache in the future. But anyway, let's get right to the metals. Gold was up a little bit today, $3, $19.47.40. Silver was up 29 cents, $24.02. Platinum was down $3 to $9.84. Palladium was up 218 to $14.21, so up and down a little bit there. The Dow was down 285 to 33.926. NASDAQ was up 14 to 13.587. S&P was down 585 to 43.63. FTSE was down 0.07% to 19,175. DAX was up 0.49% to 16,310. Hang Seng was down 0.58% to 19,406. Nikkei was up 1.47% to 33,502. Oil was down 75 cents to 68,57. USDX was down 29 to 103.06. 10-year yield was down 0.043 to 37.96%. So, yeah, mixed bag. A mixed bag. I mean, that's what can I say? But you know, gold and silver are holding. Gold still holding well over $1,900. Silver is still over 24 again. So overall, the metals are still holding their own. And folks, they will continue to go up. They truly will. But now we're going to go to our guest, Wendy Wilson, who's always just fun to listen to because she puts excitement in what she's talking about. She shares it where everybody can understand it, and she does her best to help us understand what's happening with our health, and then she does something about it to help us. Wendy Wilson, welcome.
Oh, welcome. Thank you, Pastor Butch. I appreciate it. I missed everybody, and I want to thank everybody for their prayers and well wishes as I recovered from another eye abrasion. So I'm kind of doubling down on the cause of that and getting some help from a naturopath that's a specialist in neurology. So I'll be reporting on this as I go along as to what we're finding out. But today we're going to talk about going inside medical school and what we can glean from that. Because you know what, Pastor Butch? What is it really like being a medical school student? And I've heard stories from medical professionals, especially when I was working in healthcare. And most of what was told to me is, you know, doctors rarely get any sleep and they have little free time. And I was painted this picture of dedicated, hardworking medical students who, you know, were sleep deprived, but they sacrificed a lot to become health professionals. And I'm sure a lot of them did. So what is it like to be in medical school today? according to the medical school student, this is Alexander Phillips. He attends Warren Albert Medical School at Brown University. And he says academic life is not what most people think. He says this: my peers and I almost never went to lectures. Less than 25% of the students attended class in person and would rather watch a taped class later at home at their leisure. Also, the COVID pandemic tend to accelerate this practice. So this was being done before COVID, but then when COVID hit, everybody was doing it. So my question is, are the medical schools concerned about this? Well, yes, they are, Pastor Butch. And can they do anything about it? Well, that's yet to be seen, because the area healthcare is changing rapidly, and virtual visits have already been integrated into health practice. So what's really interesting, though, is that these institutions claim these changes of kids not going to class and doing virtual class education is being driven by the students. Now, I thought that was interesting. Well, the students are dictating how they want to learn. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I never heard that before. I always thought the other way around. But anyway,
it's
just me. I'm old-fashioned.
Right. So the question is, how is this behavior going to affect doctors' responsibility toward their patient care? Here's a quote. This is from one of the professors he's at Brown University. It's Dr. Philip Grupasso. He's a professor of pediatrics and molecule biology, cell biology, and biochemistry. He says this: in my 40 years of teaching, the in-person lecture attendance is the lowest I've seen, even before COVID-19 pandemic. First and second year medical school students rarely skip lectures, end of quote. That's concerning to me. You know, what are they going to be missing in their training? So here's what happens in the first 2 years. According to medical school student Phillips, he said the first 2 years of your medical school are known as the pre-clerkship. And this curriculum is said to prepare the student for the later half of their education. So in their pre-clerkship, the students are required to work in patient care teams. They learn technical elements of a doctor before they see patients. They have lectures on anatomy, embryology, which is embryo development, physiology, pathology, and pharmacology. Of course, they may be skipping some of those lectures, of course. Health system science is also on the list. He says ethics, professionalism, and public health, as well as going to labs, dissecting cadavers, that kind of thing, and also practicing how to interview a patient and conduct a physical exam. So what they have moved to on your medical school campuses is virtual learning classes. Okay, so as with most educational establishments, the virtual learning was really not as successful during COVID for students. And Phillips agrees and states that the obvious, which is students could not ask questions and provided a very isolated environment. However, the medical students wanted to learn how to become doctors on their own time. So this is quite the dilemma here. And from this, some of the schools are using virtual lecture learning, where the students can log in, select their class, see the virtual class, and they can rewind, fast forward at their own pace to get the information. So they're calling this, Pastor Butch, flipped classroom. Unreal. So I guess this could do away with the need for actually a large campus in the end, if you think about it. And I'm saying wait until artificial intelligence takes over to prepare the next generation of physicians, although it may not be a human, which is the next generation of physicians. See, let's see. This is Professor Capasso, who says again, there is a very real threat to the medical education enterprise in altering the role of the physician. Remove the gratification that comes with face-to-face teaching, and we risk losing the commitment of medical professors and faculty. Some have called for the pre-clerkship years to be entirely virtual, end of quote. He's not in agreement with that. So if medical schools if they start to trim the classroom down to just virtual learning, so the dynamics to determining competency by simply mastering, let's say, coursework rather than doing it at a set time is altered. Yet Brown University and other universities are using this flipped classroom approach for the first 2 years of medical school in hopes it would better prepare students for the underlying science, the peer interaction, and also building a relationship with their teachers for the last half of their education. And of course, yes, doing away with the traditional education format for virtual content will most likely save the establishment a lot of money. But what about the stimulating debates and discussions students can have in the classroom with professors? They're going to miss out on all that. Those are missed opportunities of establishing a connection with peers and faculty members. So imagine students not asking the question, why is it done that way in regards to the instructions they're getting? However, this is a new way of calling optimizing in-person sessions. That's what they're calling it instead. Here's what Brown University posted. They say, we are rethinking how do we train the next generation of physicians while we support the decision medical students have already made to learn from on their own time. Traditional versus flipped pre-clerkship medical science classrooms is our future. End of quote.
Wow.
So what does the future hold here? Will the medical schools be getting the pre-clerkship education right by flipping the classroom? Well, Brown University isn't the only school looking at making these changes. Rutgers, Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, also looking at using an accelerated clinical learning model, shortening the first 2 years to just 18 months. And we have to wonder if the next step is to remove the pass-fail grading system. What do you think of that?
That's just best like par for the course in today's standards.
This is what Carol Turegno, she's a medical doctor. She's a senior associate dean of education and academic affairs at Rutgers. And she says this, it's better to me to shorten the foundational science curriculum. Just shorten it. That's what she said, end of quote. So either it was full of pork and they were learning stuff they didn't need, or they're taking away stuff they need to know. Which is it?
I don't know, but anytime they change anything today, I have to go to the bad side of it.
Well, the medical schools may be taking a big risk in making these structural changes to their teaching, and I personally think that the changes might make economical sense, but will they be good for patients? So the future is going to tell us what caliber of physicians the new programs are going to produce. I just don't want them practicing on me.
I understand that. I do.
Basically, Pastor, but you know, when I discovered the power of medicinal herbs over 30 years ago, it kind of blew me away. I thought herbs were the best kept secret at the time for, you know, general wellness concerns. And I was not wrong, you know, because I later learned God confirms that in scripture. He says herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. So God says we can trust it, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So I decided I wanted to be an herbalist when I saw some wonderful things happen to someone in my family very close to me that medicine abandoned. And so I said to myself, I want to learn how to do that. And that's what I went to do. And by the way, we're having a Father's Day sale. So for the fathers out there or anybody out there wanting to tap into the sale, they can pick up, you know, heart attack packs, power herb books, power herb kits, pandemic kits, and a whole lot more, and save 25%. And the sale runs through the 21st of June. Details are online, or they can simply call and say, I want the Father's Day sale. And they can reach out and get a free catalog. We have a new free catalog we can send. And you got a table of contents in there, so you can kind of flip to different sections if you're interested in immune support, cleansing, whatever it is, herbs for pets even. You can flip to those sections and see what we have. Also, Pastor Butch, we're still working on our website, so we're hoping in the next 30, 60 days to have a whole new look to the website for navigation, so we'll let you know what happens there. But they can call thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Sign up for our newsletters because we have the American Survival, and you guys participate in that with discount gold and silver, and that's a great thing to have. It's free.
Absolutely. Okay. Wow. So they're cutting back on medical school requirements, which is always a good thing, dude. Cut back on requirements. That's no big deal. It's just talking about people's lives here, you know. Nothing to get excited about, you know, nothing at all. But that just, we need them to sound well. It doesn't sound right.
It's slacking off. You know, it used to be when you were in school, when I was in school, if you didn't show up for some required lectures, you failed. You did. Can you imagine law students doing that? Right?
Yes.
Okay. And just anybody in high positions of power doing that thing. So you can see that it's going to put, I think people, it'll be a question, but you know, the medical industry is leaning more and more and more on the artificial intelligence. So doctors are getting trained, the ones that are fully fledged doctors right now, they're getting trained to use artificial intelligence to help with diagnosis even, and also artificial intelligence helping out with surgery. So it won't be long, I'm thinking, it couldn't be long before, you know, a lot of human participation in healthcare is replaced by artificial intelligence.
Well, they're going to have ChatGPT now to tell people the bad news if they have something wrong with them. I saw that article today. So everything is going to be very much impersonalized.
Right.
And that's just so sad. It really is, because doctors were at one time were the ones who put the human touch to the medical care, where they had compassion and a little bit of concern. I mean,
right.
AI just has nothing except, hey, you're dying. You got 6 months. Go home.
I don't think the computer or robot AI is going to have a good bedside manner.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I do think you're right on that. And I got a quick question, because I was talking to somebody today that lack of energy. What would you recommend to boost energy?
Well, lack of energy could be from a lot of things. It could be from diet. It could be from thyroid hormones not working right. I mean, it could be a lot of things. So, you know, trying to figure out what the cause is really what I usually shoot for. But, you know, generally speaking, if you're kind of a little sluggish, I like to use American or Siberian ginseng. It does give cells stamina on a cellular level. And if you don't have weak cardio, if you don't have a weak heart, you can tolerate ginseng pretty well. And, you know, I think the other part is nutrition. So super infuse the diet with some really good nutrition. One of my favorite things is the body food mix that we have at the powerherbs.com website. And it's a powder. You just make a smoothie with it, put it in juice, stir it into yogurt, whichever. And it does cover a lot of the things that you may be missing in the diet to bridge that gap. And that could be part of it, too.
Okay. All right. I'll let that pass that on in case you gentlemen don't listen to the program. Because I know a lot of people today, even stress can make you feel tired. We know that.
This is true. Pain can make you feel tired.
You know,
pain management's a big deal. But, of course, a lot of those pain management meds can put you in a world of hurt with addiction. So then you're looking at alternatives. So one of my favorites for minor pain is willow bark and meadow sweet. So if you got more severe pain, you know, they took away our severe pain herbs, Pastor Butch. There's your cannabis and your poppy. That's what those were for. But those are the pain herbs. But, you know, those are highly regulated. So we can't really dispense those.
Of course. Of course. And folks, they should know this. Willow bark, they make aspirin out of willow bark, don't they?
Well, yes, they extracted the salicin out of it, and when they did that, they stripped it of its alkaloids that were partnered with it, and it became acetyl salicylic acid. So this is why you get side effects like bleeding, and also it lowers fever, so it interferes with the immune system. So this is why it doesn't work the same when it's isolated.
Wow. Wow, wow. Wendy, you're an absolute marvel when it comes to understanding these things. I want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. So good to be back in the saddle, as it were.
Well, you be sure and take care of that eye now, and we'll hope to see you next week.
Okay, you too. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye. Folks, back at the break. A lot to talk about. Don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry.
All righty, folks, we are back in. This is Pastor Butch Paulus of Financial Survival, and we are joined now by Melody Cederstrom, who's going to come and join us for the broadcast and share some of her thoughts with us. And I'll let her start off because, after all, she's a boss. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, I don't know what you went through in the first program, assuming you did all the market reports and everything. And
I
think the
took care of that.
The major news today, of course, was the Feds decided to pause. I don't know if you mentioned that.
No.
A little bit. So, yeah, they're going to pause for a while. They're going to still have maybe two other rate increases for 2023, but they decided to take a pause. And so they're holding the benchmark rate and target range of 5 to 5.25%. And this is the first pause since starting cycles of increases back in early of 2022. New projections show that they're going to favor a half point of additional increases this year, which would bring which would push the borrowing cost to about 5.6% and higher than most economists and investors had been expecting. So they give a clear signal that the policymakers will resume tightening by referring to the extent of additional policy firming. Forecast for economic growth and core inflation rose for 2023, while unemployment projections fell. And the Feds also say the economy has expanded at a modest pace with robust job gains and low unemployment, but inflation still remains elevated. So that is pretty much what I think everybody was expecting. And, you know, people say, well, you know, does it really matter? And, you know, I guess sometimes You know, what's interesting is, I don't know if I can bring the report back up, but I saw that what the amount of debt, just servicing the debt, is going to be here in, I mean, it's just $10 trillion just to service the debt in a few years.
Jeez.
I mean, really? I mean, people think that this is sustainable, and those are estimates. So pretty much pretty guess that this could probably be higher. So, I mean, it really is, you know, an incredible number that we're facing. Grocery prices are rising, you know, and that's what's really important. They ticked up in May. We talked a little bit about this. Yes, food prices dipped a little bit in March and April, but again, I mean, this is going to be what really affects people. 5.8% was the overall uptick, more expensive in May for grocery prices than they were a year ago. Menu prices have risen 8.3% over the past year. Together, food prices jumped 6.7% throughout the year, outpacing the overall annual inflation that they tell us, which we both disagree is 4%. You know, margarine, that spiked 22%. Flour jumped 17%. Bread spiked 12.5%. Sugar rose 11%. Meanwhile, juice and other non-alcoholic drinks popped almost 10%. Lettuce went up 9.4%. Ham grew at 8.2%. Ice cream went up 8%. So, you know, you can come up with all kinds of reasons and factors for what have caused these food prices to rise. You can say extreme weather, the war. You can always blame the war in Ukraine, avian flu, higher costs along the supply chain, every single one of them. But then none of them mention our monetary policy.
Of course not.
That is really pushing the price. You know, and then you see, you know, their inflation drop, and you have bacon fell 10%, citrus fruit dropped 5%, whole milk dropped 3%, pork chops 2%. Fish and seafood won over the course of the year. We know egg prices are falling too. So, and then this guy has the, I hope I still have it on my computer. Your U.S. Transportation Secretary Petey said there's no question the collapse of section of Interstate 95 in northeastern Philly is going to result in higher prices of goods. So now they're going to blame that. He says the failure is having an outsized impact on commuters and the movement of goods and services. Hey, Mr. Pete, you're the transportation secretary. Do something about it. The portion of the highway which collapsed after a tanker truck fire on Sunday carried an average of 160,000 vehicles a day, 8% of which were commercial trucks. Now they have to take a different route, 40 miles, a detour, a 40-mile-long detour along mostly non-interstate roads that includes more than 60 traffic lights. And, you know, now he's saying that that's going to have an impact on your costs of things. And you know what's interesting? When this happened, Butch, we were trying to find the information on this collapse because we saw the headline right when it was happening. And I was trying to find and was Googling, you know, highway collapse because we didn't know it was in Philly at that point in time. You know, there was another similar, we'll call it an accident this point in time, just a month or two ago, where a tanker supposedly was taking an exit ramp, overturned, exploded, and collapsed the highway. Interesting.
It is interesting. And all the railroad accidents you had over the last 6 or 8 months. Interesting.
Wow. Now, I'm not saying I'm not creating a conspiracy theory here. It's just interesting.
It is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is.
I mean, whoever heard of tankers taking an exit? And maybe it happens, many more times than I am aware of. But I've never heard of a tanker taking an exit, maybe traveling too fast, overturns and basically explodes. I'm not even sure they used the word explode. It caught fire. When was the last time fire collapsed cement?
Yeah, really. Yes.
So, it's just an observation. That's all it is. And it's just,
And melted steel.
Yes, that's right. Because you have all that rebar in there, right?
So, I mean, it's kind of curious. Of course, that happened on 9/11, too. You remember that, sure. So,
yes.
Yeah, anyway, this, I don't know, Mel. There's too many coincidences to be coincidences.
And I know stuff happens. Accidents happen. Bizarre things happen, things out of our control and so forth. But it was just interesting when we were looking for that. And I just wanted to share it.
I'm glad you did. It makes very good points. You're talking about food prices, and you probably already saw this, but Kansas wheat harvest will be the smallest since 1957. That's been a couple of years ago. U.S. corn is being absolutely devastated by drought. Wow. This is by Michael Snyder. Significantly higher food prices are coming because U.S. food production is going to be way below normal levels this year. What's on my mind, I'm going to say this too, Mel. I stopped into a produce store today and bought a couple of tomatoes. Tomatoes are not ripe here yet much in our area. Of course, it's just the middle of June. Those tomatoes were $1.50 each for tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
This is, folks, yeah, food prices are going through the roof. But the article said that is really bad news because food prices are already absurdly high. In some cases, people are paying as much as a full shopping cart full of food as a, as it is for a used vehicle in the old days. That's true. I wish I was not exaggerating, but I am not. Unfortunately, food prices are only going to be higher because farmers and ranchers are being hit extremely hard from coast to coast. For example, it's being reported that wheat farmers in Kansas will reap their smallest harvest in more than 60 years. Kansas has been called the country's breadbasket. Now, wheat farmers in the state will reap the smallest harvest in more than 60 years. This will go directly down the chain from farmers to consumers at the grocery store. Kansas normally produces more wheat than any U.S. state by a wide margin. For the last 2 years, a drought has withered a lot of the crop. Now, this year, wheat harvest in Kansas is shaping up to be the smallest since 1957. That year, the Eisenhower administration intentionally suppressed wheat production. There were 166 million people living in the United States in 1957. Today, there's 331 million people. So who's going to volunteer to give up eating wheat this year so that others can consume what they normally do? At this point, things are so bad that we're being told that flour mills in Kansas will likely have to buy wheat grown in Eastern Europe. By the way, with a lot of wheat and other different things come out of Ukraine, a lot of the Netherlands, and they're all cutting back, obviously. Ukraine's at war. Netherlands have quit farming. Kansas flour mills, for decades, Kansas has led the nation in wheat production. The U.S. leads the world in its wheat exports as well. This is a major problem. But can't we all just eat more corn instead? After all, corn's already in thousands upon thousands of different products that Americans consume on a regular basis. Well, it turns out that corn production is being greatly affected by drought as well. The following comes from a Newsweek article entitled, Corn Prices Set to Soar After Midwest Heat Hit by Worst Drought in 30 Years. An unusually dry May in the Midwest has raised concerns over this year's corn crop in the Corn Belt, the region stretching from the Panhandle of Texas up to North Dakota and east to Ohio, which dominates the country's corn production. So, yes, folks, we will see an increase again on bread and anything made with corn or wheat. And that's a lot of stuff. That includes cattle feed. That includes, of course, the food on your table. It's going to be a major hit. And, Mel, if they expect to get it from Eastern Europe, and Eastern Europe now we know is they're being hit hard themselves for a lot of different reasons, some of them intentionally, like in Ukraine with the war or the Netherlands shutting down farms. But that's going to make a difference. It's going to come up with food shortages, is it not?
You would think. And what's that mean?
Higher prices.
Yep.
And then, you know, I know that's not popular to think about, but denying these things doesn't change them, LD. This is not negative reporting. This is reporting the truth. You can deny anything as long as you want to, but it won't change the facts. And a different topic very quickly. I want to share this, move on. Starbucks ordered to pay $25.6 million to a manager who says she was fired for being white. And the jury come back with a unanimous verdict that she deserved this because Starbucks had a problem with a couple of gentlemen who will not leave the restaurant because they didn't order anything. They escorted out by the police. So Starbucks started coming down hard on their white employees to prove that they were sorry for what happened. And they fired this one manager who said she would not harass employees when they did nothing wrong. They fired her, and she won $25.6 million for being fired for being white. This is a really twisted society whenever we see we're fighting. And I understand how she must have felt. But everyone today is a victim. And it's just really sad. It really is. We're seeing so much class and race confrontation. It's not necessary, Melody. It wouldn't be necessary if everybody just leave us alone. But it's not happening that way, is it?
No, it isn't.
And, of course, we know what happened to Trump. Trump was arrested. He was fingerprinted. No mugshot or anything. But he was detained. No handcuffs. And he could, if he faces just if one count, as it goes through that, if he's found guilty in one of them, he could spend 10, 20 years in jail if just with just one account. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, what's going to happen? Are they going to pursue this? Will Trump go to court? And it could take years before you find out. This could drag on longer than Trump's going to live anyway, his natural life. This could drag on for a long time. But if they push it before the election, which is about a year, a little over a year away, we're going to maybe see a lot of interesting things happen here, Melody. I don't know what's going to happen. Do you have any comments on that?
No, I don't. And you know, I watched a little bit of the other side of things. And, I mean, this is certainly their – and it is a big story. It is a very big story. But certainly they – you know, certainly only spin the one side of it. And, you know, I don't know. Butch, I don't know if, you know, you listen to some of these Republicans and it's like, it's no big deal. And it's true. I look at some of these other people and look what they've done and nothing happened to them. That's fine. But this is now. And this is this person. And how do you fight when you are actually zeroed in on, I mean, how do you fight that? But the thing of it is, was he wrong?
If he was, Biden was too, because they found materials in Biden's house.
Yeah, but the problem was, well, from what we're still hearing is, you know, Donald Trump, they have the recordings, supposedly, and so much of this. And he's still innocent until proven guilty. I get that, ladies and gentlemen. But we hear that he's innocent. He says he's innocent. But I want more from his side. I want to hear more than just claiming I'm innocent. I want to hear, we know what the indictment reads. What is his side? Or is he not allowed to release that information until court? I mean, so, you know, I don't know. It doesn't matter if other people do it. If you've got 20 people stealing and you've got one person that gets caught, he should still go to jail, even though the other 19 still was stealing and didn't get caught. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Or, and I agree with that, except if the other 19 really were caught, but they didn't punish him, didn't prosecute him for some reason.
But that has to be proven.
Yeah, I know it does.
So somebody has to take it to court.
But you know, with Trump's record, ever since 2016, with his record of being persecuted and prosecuted and harassed, that kind of leans in that direction in my mind, that they're doing that for a particular reason.
Well, I mean, I agree, but we're back to square one. 20 people steal something, one gets caught, the other goes free. Does he get to go free? So we don't know.
No, we don't know. And we can say, well, circumstantial evidence is that he's been persecuted, but in another way, it's not. So I don't know. Anyway.
I hear the music. That means we're going to break, and we will continue. Please stay with us.
Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. What's next, Butch?
Well, I'm getting through a couple of stories here before getting the real financial information here, but immigrants with promise of rapid citizenship. You may saw this also. Desperate to overcome recruiting shortfalls, U.S. Army and Air Force are making major push to recruit immigrants using an enticement of citizenship granted in a matter of weeks. Once they finish basic training, basically, they become citizens of the U.S. But anyway, the Marine Corps is the only branch that's on track to make its 2023 recruiting goal. The Army is coming off its worst recruiting performance in decades, and the surveys have determined that young Americans' fear of death and mental illness are the biggest reasons they won't sign up. On top of that, estimated that only 23%, now listen to this, Melody, of 17 through 24-year-olds meet physical, mental, and moral requirements for Army service without obtaining a waiver. Now, I have the physical part, I can understand, probably soft, mental, maybe also. But what morals? The Army, the military has been totally woke. I mean, what morals are left in there? But anyway, when the Navy using a transgender to recruit people, what morals are they talking about? How bad do you have to be immoral enough to not get in the military in today's standards? I mean, how bad do you have to be? But it's sad that 23% of them, only 23% qualify to run, to get in the military because of physical and mental issues and apparently moral issues. And I got to wonder, they have to be really corrupted morally in order to not make it in today's requirements. And that's all I got to say about that. But I just want to share that. That was interesting. And global Britain is circling the drain. I'm going to read this article, and I want you to compare, folks, to what we're seeing in America, too. Earlier this month, I visited the UK to speak at the Better Way Conference in the beautiful city of Bath, alongside a number of fellow thought delinquents. The conference itself was extraordinary, an abundance of extraordinary content with one speaker after another delivering mind-blowing remarks, the result of years or decades of deep research into important social, economic, scientific, and medical issues, which the mainstream is trying to obscure to oblivion. It was so much more than one could absorb in one sitting, and I had to revisit much of what I've heard in Bath. It was an overload of awesome. However, the economic and social conditions I could observe during my four-day visit were disheartening. People in the street, most of them perhaps, do not appear prosperous. Physically, they're not the picture of radiant health. Far from it. For a tourist spot, the city of Bath, otherwise a very beautiful place, is surprisingly dirty, and homeless people are pretty much everywhere. Bristol, where I spent a day, looks even worse. The fact that the ordinary Britons are truly struggling is now quite visible. The streets of Bristol resemble a third world country, not what one would expect to find in one of the world's richest and most advanced economies. My return trip was disrupted by a strike. I was able to get from Bath to Bristol airport by train. Indeed, it seems that strikes are becoming increasingly frequent in the British economy. Statistical majors confirmed the struggle is very real, and large segments of British society are slumping into a Dickensian era of poverty, confirming my contention the empires sow mayhem abroad and misery at home. According to the recent figures from Trussell Trust, the number of people in the UK who need emergency food supplies from food banks has increased from 1.35 million in 2017-2018 to 2.99 million in 2022-23. One in five households have trouble paying their water bills, and many more are struggling to keep up with their energy bills. Even the subsidies government provided last winter, electricity bills in the UK are more than five times higher than the European average. That's sad, Melody. I was in London briefly. I was in the military. And the British countryside was, what better word, quaint. I mean, It was, you know, little rolling hills and little cute little homes with the rock fences around them. And now this. And the downtown, I didn't get to do much of this because I wasn't there that long, but the little towns had little stores all along the streets, different kinds, everything from ice cream shops to jewelry stores, all lined up like Main Street USA used to be many years ago. And now it's a third world country, so to speak. It kind of sounds like America, doesn't it?
It surely does.
That is so sad. So sad. Unbelievable. In a way, maybe some good news. Walmart builds new beef plant to bolster meat supply chain. COVID sparked beef and pork shortages, leaving shelves at Walmart stores bare throughout the U.S., government-forced shutdowns and COVID outbreaks forced dozens of meat packers across the U.S. to shut down, reducing meat supplies reaching Walmart and other retailers. To safeguard against future supply disruptions, Walmart is bolstering its supply chain by building its own meat packing facility in America's heartland. Today, we're excited to share how Walmart is furthering that commitment by announcing plans for a first owned and operated case-ready beef facility opening in 2025. The new facility will be constructed later this year in Olathe, Kansas, about 25 miles southwest of Kansas City. It's an important milestone for Walmart as we continue to build a more resilient supply chain, identify ways to increase access to high-quality Angus beef for our consumers. According to Bloomberg, Walmart move comes as Biden administration pushes for more competition in the meat sector, where just four companies control about 85% of the U.S. beef processing capacity. Once open, the new meatpacking plant will package and distribute beef from Sustainable Beef LLC in North Platte, Nebraska, to serve stores across the Midwest. Walmart wants to avoid severe supply chain challenges faced during COVID years, which resulted in some stores running out of beef and pork products. Good for them. Good for them. I mean, it's one thing I'll give Walmart a thumbs up on. That's great to hear that. Any comments on that, Melody?
No, sir.
I mean, Walmart, you know, usually is pretty well-equipped to dicker with suppliers to get the price down, obviously. Well, they're going to build their own system, so maybe this will make a difference as far as prices when they produce their own beef. I don't know. Only time will tell. Now, this article, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Michael Snyder wrote this. Now, this is just a partial article. The IMF just unveiled a new global currency known as the Universal Monetary Unit that's supposed to be revolutionize the world economy. This has been talked about in the past. This UMU was mentioned, and we talked about it on the radio. It's been several months ago now, but now they're coming out with it. A new global currency just launched. But 90% of the global population has no idea what just happened. The UMU, also known as Unicoin, is an international central bank digital currency that has been designed to work in conjunction with all existing national currencies. This should set off alarm bells for all of us because the widespread adoption of a new global currency would be a giant step forward for the globalist agenda. The IMF did not create this new money, but it was unveiled at a major IMF gathering earlier this week. Today at the IMF, at the International Monetary Fund Spring Meeting in 2023, the Digital Currency Monetary Authority announced their official launch of an international central bank digital currency that strengthens the monetary sovereignty of participating central banks and complies with the recent crypto assets policy recommendations proposed by IMF. Universal Monetary Unit, symbolized as ANSI character U, is legally a money commodity, can transact in any legal tender settlement currency, and functions like a CBDC to enforce banking regulations and protect the financial integrity of the international banking system. Am I reading this right, Melody? Is this saying that this will be the overlying means of paying debts nationally, but they'll still have local currencies too? Is that what I'm reading here?
Well, I've always believed there's going to be a two-tier currency. You're going to have domestic and, you know, you're going to have, you know, something for, you know, trade and so forth. But I still don't think we really know how it's going to work. But we do know something is going to come and it's going to change. And in what form, we're, you know, not sure. So, yeah, I agree with that. Yes, absolutely. There will be a different tier.
Wow.
Something to use domestically.
Remember a couple of years ago when Texas had that big problem with the power grid going down and they couldn't keep up supply and demand? Remember that?
I do.
Texas is expected to break the power demand record as heat intensifies this week. Texas' fragile power grid will be pushed to the brink in coming days as unusually hot weather grips the second largest U.S. state. Now, I just got a question. There's lots of reasons for it. Why haven't they been able to keep the grid up to standard? Lack of money? What's the problem that they couldn't keep it up to standard where this wouldn't be a problem? They're growing in numbers. They know that. They know that the nation numbers are increasing. Why don't they keep the grid up? Because they don't have the money to do so or what? I don't know. That's just a question I have.
And you're talking about Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, they just spent a ton of money on building a hurricane defense, I guess, in their ports. So if the hurricane comes through there, it's to help where it wouldn't disrupt the unloading from these ships that from the ports.
Right.
So yes. Maybe their money went there because that had to cost a pretty penny.
I would say so, but I would think that the power companies themselves would be footing a lot of the bill for the power supply grid.
Are you kidding me? Government does all that.
No, that
these power companies, airports, and things—they don't do anything. They rely on the government to do it.
So they're pocketing their profits, in other words.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it goes on to say electricity usage is forecast to break the all-time high by the end of the week. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, warned. The temperatures are expected to top 100 degrees Fahrenheit in Houston, Dallas, and other Lone Star State cities. Air conditioning use is expected to soar 80.3 gigawatts. The state capital, Austin, issued its first heat advisory of the season on Tuesday and opened cooling centers for residents without air conditioners. So in Houston, passengers awaiting flights at George Bush International Intercontinental Airport sweltered for a second straight day because the air conditioning system wasn't fully functioning. So, folks, I don't know what's going to happen here, but if they couldn't keep up with it before, and expecting record demand on power, could that mean more power outages? Could that mean rolling blackouts? Of course it could. They may have to do that. They expect temperatures to get up to 114 degrees Fahrenheit. That really is hot. And it could seriously mean that they'll have to do rolling blackouts to keep somebody open and close somebody down. But we talked about that, Melody. How many years ago have we discussed this?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Many times. So I don't know. Record number of media jobs cut so far in 2023. So far this year, Melody, media has cut 17,436 jobs. That's a chunk of jobs.
It is.
So, I don't know what all the reasons are, but it is obviously the demand for the workers isn't there, so they just laid them off, almost over 17,000 so far this year. Well, there's so much more to cover today. We're not going to have time to get it all in, but there's just so much going on. So many different directions, so much Jared Dethroned King Dollar Bernstein confirmed as top Biden econ advisor. Yellen warns de-dollarization efforts will grow. This guy actually thinks it's a good idea to get the dollar away from being the world standard, so to speak. He thinks it's a good idea not no longer to have that. Our Senator Manchin voted against confirming this guy, because he said Mr. Bernstein's economic philosophy is problematic, as he has shown a willingness to disregard the need for all of the above energy policies and necessary federal budget cuts to alleviate the skyrocketing cost of living for working families. I did not vote for Mr. Bernstein because we must protect America's economic stability and energy security from radical policies such as the Green New Deal, Manchin said. So whatever, but he wants to take the dollar away as a world standard. So, Melody, to me, that's like an absurd idea. It's not worth anything now. If it no longer used as a world economic basis, what we have left?
Because they already have the plans to initiate a new monetary system. So, exactly. So let's just get rid of it and let's move on. That's where they'll make their money and so forth. And there's one thing I know I really would like to talk about is the U.S. is set to provide Ukraine with depleted uranium rounds for Abrams tanks.
Oh, no.
And as much as this administration talks about all their, getting off of fossil fuels and all their little green energy deals and all that kind of crap, the U.S. has said, and the U.K. already has sent depleted uranium rounds to Ukraine. With all the devastation that provides, I mean, it's beyond words.
It is.
Of what they are doing and how far they're willing to go to eliminate Russia anymore. It isn't about protecting Ukraine. Not anymore.
And Friday, when I'm back on with you, we're going to cover some things about what's going on in Belarus now, too. We'll cover that some more Friday.
Yeah, but they're
it's unbelievable.
And we'll be back then, but we'll be here tomorrow, too. So make sure you tune in. You're listening to Financial Survival. Have a great night. Be safe and good night. And God bless.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I've got me.